Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, a local fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast, hosted by Nick Borowski and Pat Hester.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome back to Good Guys Talk Back. It is episode 252. I am Nick Borowski. This is a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast trying to do this weekly all off season. And then, of course, through the season, we do this on our YouTube channel, Good Guys Talk Back. Subscribe, pass it along. Got a Saturday morning episode for you because, of course, usually our Sunday night will be occupied by Christmas Eve. For those that celebrate, you know this already. Audio for this podcast available everywhere. I've got some things to talk about as we're celebrating the actual date here of Festivus. To chop everything up with me, my very good friend, diehard Sox fan, Pat Hester. Hello, sir.
Nick, happy Festivus. And not only diehard Sox fan, but diehard Seinfeld fan. So yes, we are going to air our grievances today. I know you've got a lot on your plate. We probably could fill more than one episode with the number of grievances against this team that we love. I am going to push back a little bit later on, though, in the show and say, let's look at some positives. It is the season of hope, right?
Yeah.
There might be things that we could look towards and have some positivity. We've gone down the road of darkness over the past, let's say, 5 months of this show. Maybe we could end the year on some positivity. So maybe towards the end, you and I could talk about some positives that we could draw from this team as we enter into 2024.
I can't make any promises.
You want the whole show to now I put that in your brain, you know, and it's a good tease for the audience. They're going to be feeling upbeat as they're wrapping their last presents, baking their last cookie, and all that good stuff that leads into the holidays. Let's leave on an up note. Leave on an up note today.
And I always like to give a little bit of here's some fodder for maybe a conversation if you're getting together with friends and family over the holidays. There really hasn't been anything substantial by the White Sox. So here's something to maybe toss around. You know, there's no right or wrong answer. Have these conversations, go into the holidays, into the new year, you know, with maybe a different perspective. You know, I've had conversations, and I'm sure you have as well, with folks that, you know, I didn't see it like that. That's an interesting way of thinking. Maybe, you know, maybe I can embrace that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, changing your perspective. There's still a lot of time before this season kicks off. I actually, Pat, believe it or not, and this is because I'm just, you know, I know I've got a problem.
No,
I'm working on it, but we've got hotels booked for spring training.
You booked your hotel. Look at you.
I've got my hotel booked. I'm going to work on the flight and then probably get a couple games in mid-March. So again, I can't stay away from it. Also, you know, it's a great excuse to get away from what's going to be probably still gray, cold, and snowy. I'll be out there in Camelback Ranch once again.
That is that's fantastic. Boots on the ground for our show. Can't wait for you to maybe interject some of your thoughts to the staff, how you would approach things.
To put Hanser Alberto in the lineup will be probably my biggest focus. As you know, he'll get another chance.
Please make the sign for spring training that you're just holding it up for the entire game. Put Hanser Alberto in the game. That's, I think, would be great.
And every time he's not in the lineup, everyone should be saying, where's Hansel Alberto? Where is he?
Or you could put on, I think this would be great for us. You and I are going to go to Sox games this year, Nick. I think that we make signs with the Pedro Grifol quote of the week and hold them up during the game. There'd be a lot of text on there, some of them.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get others involved in the row to like help us out. Do you think the security would take those down?
No, they're just a quote. I mean, it's not like we're taking anything out of context. We're quoting Pedro Grifol. We give him credit at the end. It could take over the what was done as the beer snake, you know, the cup snakes that were done.
Oh, yeah.
We could have the Pedro Grifol quote of the week streaming across, you know, aisles and aisles of people.
Yeah. I mean, if Super Rope does come through and maybe we have an extra money, we could get, you know, one of those planes to fly around with a banner that just tails one of his quotes during a game.
Yet again, we haven't had our budgeting meeting. So
let's put that on the table as ideas.
Oh, no, there's nothing bad. There's spitballing, great ideas. There's no bad ideas. So I like that. The plane with a message with the Pedro Grifol quote of the week.
Yeah, I've got one for later in the show, so we'll get to that. I want to talk a little bit. You know, we might be able to sneak another episode in before 2023 comes to a close, but maybe talk a little bit about the year and, you know, what has been for this White Sox organization. And I got kind of a question I'll pose to you eventually, but this is December 23rd. You know, you kind of highlighted at the beginning, we're huge Seinfeld fans. I know there are others like us, of course. Why wouldn't there be a monumental show? And it still is in reruns and just in like just the culture references. And today is, you know, technically Festivus and the airing of grievances and the feats of strength and all that kind of fun stuff. And I feel like we've been airing grievances forever, as most Sox fans have, whether you produce content, or you write it, you've got a podcast, whether you're just a fan complaining, you have all the right to do that. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of good that we've been able to wrap our brains around and, you know, our fandom around and get excited about. So there has been a lot of grievances. But the latest one, Pat, is this lack of a Sox Fest. And I keep banging the drum on this, but boy, does it upset me. And it just doesn't upset me by the actual event. And I'll try to explain a little bit more what that means without having a fan festival, what the organization is really saying to the fans. Now, this past week, since the last time we recorded, we have found out, and you alluded to it because of your big meeting, with the White Sox, with your company several weeks ago, that there was not going to be a Sox Fest, but there was going to be something that season ticket holders can participate in, some sort of appreciation day. And we found out that that's happening in late January. There's going to be a season ticket event, season ticket holder event, and celebrating you. However, there is no regular fan, non-season ticket holder event. And to me, that is not by the Sox saying, okay, we're going to honor our season ticket holders. That's wonderful, sure. But to not do something also for all fans of all ages, that is not a step in the right direction or an olive branch or positive movement of like, oh, wow, look at what they've done. This is showing that they care. That is the bare minimum. The absolute bare, and you're only giving it to the people that cough up their money, a lot of money ahead of time. So to me, that's a slap in the face. That is another notch, you know, and this I guess multi-month long, you know, tally of, wow, you guys can't get out of your own way.
Yeah.
I mean, every other team seems to be able to celebrate fans and have figured out a fan festival. And if you don't want to do the question and answer, and that's what I think a lot of people get hung up on is, oh, you know, it's a money grab. And, you know, who wants to sit there and like, listen to question? There doesn't have to be a question and answer. It's the concept of giving all of your fans of all ages an opportunity to just rub shoulders with like-minded people, celebrate the team. It's an opportunity for the organization to market what they've got going on, no matter if you are excited about what you have as a product or, you know, you're not so excited. You can't judge it that way.
Well, and whose fault is it that they're not even excited about their own product? That's their fault. They could have changed that, right? They had the ability to make that a positive thing that people get excited about both in the building and outside of the building. So I totally understand where you're going. What was the, because I didn't look at it close enough, Nick, and if you don't know, that's fine. So what are they doing for season ticket holders? What is the event?
You know, I didn't look into all the details. I'm assuming it's a luncheon with like Ron Kittle and Harold Baines and, you know, who knows, Mike Huff might be there, Gordon Beckham, some of the usuals that they roll out at Sox events. I really don't know. And Whether you have attended Sox Fest in the past, whether you like it, whether you hate it, whether you turn your nose up to it, or somebody that, you know, attends the whole weekend, it's the concept of giving an opportunity for all of your fans, especially the kids, that you want to get those fans early, you know.
Yeah.
You want to get them excited. Sometimes an autographed baseball or a photo with a player, that can get a fan for life, you know. Yeah. And if you don't even have an event like that to highlight your team, especially when every other team, especially the Northsiders too, are doing it, boy, is that short-sighted. And Here we are, I believe it's the fourth year in a row where they're not having such type of event. What do you say about that? You know, I'm sorry, to have something just for season ticket holders, it does not give me any sign of hope. Now, I was a season ticket holder for 7 years. I decided not to renew. When I was a season ticket holder, Pat, I would get emails to go to different events. Hey, come check out the batting practice. Come check out White Sox batting practice. For those that don't realize this, you are not allowed to see White Sox batting practice. This has been going on for a long, long time. So I was given the opportunity as a season ticket holder to come early to watch the batting practice.
Yeah.
Why am I so special to be able to do that? Why are you just limiting season ticket holders from doing that? You know, it should be kids. It should come check out batting practice.
Yeah.
You know, outfielder shagging baseballs, throwing some baseballs to you. That would capture, you know, a young fan. Why can't all fans take part in some of these things? I don't get how they select stuff. I don't know that marketing angle, because it's just, I don't get it.
Think about the way, and we've referenced other teams when we talk about the White Sox in town. So think about the way that the Blackhawks used to sell their product to the Chicago market. If you want to see this team play at home, you have to buy tickets and come see them. We're not going to put them on TV. And people raged against that. And the team fell into the doldrums of being voted one of the worst run organizations in all of sports at one time. And I can't remember the publication that put it out or what it was, but I think it was Sports Illustrated.
But I could be wrong.
The worst sports run sports team in all sports. And then things changed, you know? So think about it from the way that Jerry looks at things. Let's make sure that if you want to see these things, you have to pay for it. That's how we're going to market it. And that's what we're going to go after, instead of making it available to people to grow the game. And you think about the stagnant way in which, you know, not only the White Sox are growing with young fans, but baseball in general. If you looked at it from a different perspective and said, you know, this is a sellable opportunity with us, right? With batting practices, things like this, the exclusive events that we want to make sure that only the paying customer sees. But you're not seeing the long-term ramifications of opening this up to other people, that you could say in 10 years, this kid that came to see batting practice is going to be coming out to our ballpark and spending their hard-earned dollars. If you don't open those opportunities up to young fans, you're going to miss out on that next wave of people that are going to be paying to come see your thing. So I completely understand that way of thinking as a fan, but they don't look at it from a fan perspective. They look at it, we're going to look at the spreadsheet. Where are the dollars and cents being going? We have to maximize everything we do to bring money into the coffers and maximize what our return is going to be on owning this team, which, regardless of what Jerry Reinsdorf says, he doesn't make any money owning the Chicago White Sox, is a complete farce. Because he's made plenty of money over the 40 years that he's been owning this team. So I get it, but I think that's an old businessman mentality of the way you run teams. Look at Bill Wirtz, again, my example. The old man way of looking at it is, I have a product. It's a product that's available to be sold, and I'm not going to allow people to consume it for free. I'm going to only let people consume it when they pay for it. So again, it's a short-sighted way of running a business or running a team when you don't allow people that are young, that don't have those dollars, to come in and consume your product in some way, shape, or form. So I completely agree with that. But that's the only reason, that's the only thing I could draw as far as a comparison.
Yeah. And that's the comparison I go to quite a bit, just because it's such a local, and we grew up with that, right? Mm-hmm. We grew up with the Blackhawks being limited. And then we were of an age where we can understand what happened when Rocky took over and brought in McDonough. And you saw, you know, obviously the Blackhawk store grew in popularity on Michigan Avenue in a prime location. They were put back on TV. Some of the legends were brought back. Relationships were mended. You know, having guys like Taves and Kane can't hurt, and making some, you know, good use of the money, bringing Hossa over, which is one of probably the greatest free agent signings in all of Chicago sports, in at least the last, what, 20, 30 years? I don't know.
For sure.
And then your merchandise is everywhere. You know, like you are getting your product and your fan engagement everywhere, every festival, every event. It's like you make sure Tommy Hawk is there and you've got a Blackhawks, you know, pride crew that is there promoting your product. Now, winning also helps.
Yeah.
You know, when the Hawks started, you know, winning, what, 2009, they might have went to the finals, the conference finals against the Red Wings, and then, of course, won the Cup in 2010. So, sure. How can this whole mess with fan engagement and disconnect with the Chicago White Sox be cleaned up? I mean, on-field success really is probably going to ultimately be my answer. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they try other things. It just seems like it's the same old stuff. You've got people that have been in these positions, whether it's, you know, ticket sales, PR, communication, marketing. They've been around forever. They're doing the same old stuff. And years ago, it was kind of inventive and cool and neat. But so many other teams have caught up to, you know, what the Sox have been doing, even food. Hey, Sox roll out some great stuff every single year. They hide a lot of the really fun, adventurous stuff for those in like the 300 level or scout seats or stadium club. But there are still some great options, you know, 100 level, 500 level. There are other teams around the league that are doing great food options and fun, inventive food options. You know, how are you, you know, not only keeping up, but trying to advance? I just haven't seen it. You know, I haven't seen that extra effort. So my argument to people when they say, oh, well, Jerry cares. Jerry gets hurt with every loss. I'm like, then he should have been proving it. He could have changed that hurt of his. If he's personally affected, he could have done something about it. Now, there's no guarantee when you spend money. We've seen that with the Mets, you know, Padres, you know, tried to have a slam dunk. I don't know what's going to happen to the Dodgers, but, you know, they're going for it.
Yeah. How would you like to be a Dodgers fan again today with signing the, and I won't try and pronounce the pitcher's name from Japan, but a hot commodity that was out there that a lot of teams were pining for, and he goes to the Dodgers. Now there's some alignment there when you get Ohtani that was probably going to happen. But I mean, you just wake up and you're just like, oh, another great thing happened today. I'm a Dodgers fan.
Do you pack it angry by that? Do you say, oh man, you know, there needs to be a salary cap. This is ridiculous. You know, shame on the Dodgers for spending all this money and making all these other teams look foolish.
No, they're playing within the rules. There's nothing wrong that they're doing. They're being aggressive and running their organization how they feel they need to run it to win World Series. And that's their main focus. It's not about, you know, you and I sit here and talk about, well, can the Sox win this winnable division every year in, year out? And could we catch lightning in a bottle with these two or three guys and push us over the top and maybe make the playoffs? That's not on their radar. Their radar is, okay, we made the play. I can't remember what round they made it to last year, but they look at that. Whatever they did last year was a failure because they didn't win the World Series. They are going to do everything they can every year, as long as this ownership group is in place, to put the pieces in place and spend the money that needs to be spent and be creative enough within the confines of the rules to make sure that they have the best opportunity to win a championship next year, not just go to the playoffs, not just win their division, not just be a competitive team like the lowest bar that we have. Let's just be competitive. They're looking at winning World Series and multiple and championships upon championships and building a legacy and building a dynasty. That's what they're interested in LA. That's not what we're interested in here.
Yeah. Spags, I agree in the comments. Thanks for jumping in, everybody. And Merry Christmas to those celebrating here. If we were doing it, if Jerry was doing it and he was throwing money around, I mean, we wouldn't be saying, ooh, I think that's too much money. I don't know. I mean, there are some people that might say that's ridiculous. Those are ridiculous contracts. I heard from those people when Manny Machado and Bryce Harper didn't come to the South Side. There was this wipe of the brow relief of Yeah, why would you want to rope somebody up in that type of contract?
Is it our money that I mean, eventually it is, because it is part, you know, it's ticket sales and all that stuff goes into that. But I always go back to what I talked about. I think it was last year at some point, or maybe at the beginning of this season. You know, teams are, with the collective bargaining, they're getting over $70 million just to be a team. So again, I know it's that money that you're getting is probably paying for the majority of your team's salary, depending on what team you are. If you're the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays, it probably is paying for your entire team's salary right there just for being a team.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You know,
so what about, Pat? What about a floor then? What about, hey, you've got to spend a certain amount of money or you will have to relinquish your rights as an owner?
But nobody's going to do that, Nick, because the owners are the ones voting on this collectively, together. And I think anything to pass, it's got to take.
You don't think they're going to do honor system? Just like,
okay, make sure you're doing the right thing. But I think anything to get passed with the owners, it's got to be like at least 21 of the teams have to agree. And I'm sure that there are a majority of the teams out there that think, because if we could rattle them off, which I'm not going to, that's not entertaining podcasting, but we could probably find enough teams that would vote against something like that, having a floor, because their owners are going to be similar to what we have. You know, we think that, we sit here and we complain about Jerry because that's what we know, but we could jump on with a lot of other fan bases and complain about their ownership or ownership group that think maybe not the exact same way, but very similarly to the way Jerry thinks.
Maybe that's what we should have done for Festivus. I've had on good authority. I think Pittsburgh Pirates, I know their fan base has got some issues. Los Angeles Angels, there are others out there, of course, Oakland, that we could get together and we could probably have a lot in common as fans. You have, it's a great point. You know, we usually talk about what we know or have experience with. And as diehard Sox fans, well, this is what I could speak logically about because this is what I've followed and paid attention to. But when you kind of lift your head up and look around, we're not alone. And it is
look at the Reds. I mean, look at the Reds. They've had Joey Votto for years, one of the best hitters in baseball. And up until, I can't remember the young kid they have now, the exciting player that they have, but they've been a trash organization since the 90s. I mean, let's be honest, since they've won World Series, they have not been a good organization. They've sucked. Their ownership group sucks. So you look at teams like that and you could
Baltimore,
find
I think there's a lot of problems with Baltimore
for a long time up until the last couple of years where, again, it's on their scouting and the development that they've been able to get back in the AL East, but they've been in the doldrums. I think they popped up and had were in the playoffs in the 90s against the Yankees possibly. And they've had some other pop-ups here and there, but a great organization, a storied organization like the Baltimore Orioles has been in the doldrums for decades, really. So it's not just a White Sox problem. It's an old regime, old ownership problem that's across baseball. And these groups that are starting to come on the scene in baseball that are taking it by storm and doing things differently are the ones that are the exciting teams to root for.
We do not have Good Guys Talk Back Santa hats, unfortunately.
This is not a Good Guys Talk Back. This is a World Series champion.
Something to think about during our next kind of promotion meeting. We still have some Good Guys Talk Back t-shirts. I'm wearing one, $25 to your door. Just get a hold of me somehow, some way. I don't make it easy. Just get a hold of me.
Just stop Nick on the streets, you know, whatever you have. He walks around with bins of shirts.
Just a backpack. Yeah. No, you could find me on Twitter X. Just my direct messages are opened. Figure it out. Find me and I'll make sure I get that to you in plenty of time. I just going back to the fan engagement stuff. That's where I'm not like going to be missing. Oh man, there was just so many great things about Sox Fest that I'm going to really miss. And all the autograph seekers and all the opportunities to take pictures with Bill Melton or, you know, whomever. It's not the specifics. It's the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, it's the thing. It's the lack of some sort of fan festival for all of your fans of all ages. Like, how do you not see that? How do you not see that as a problem? And just kind of, the apathetic, like there's a climax happening with with Fant. It's apathy. It's disinterest. I'll just kind of let me know when you do something of worth and maybe I'll pay attention. So a lack of a fan festival, a lack of being in your face as an organization. Well, you're further back in the closet, so to speak. You know, those sweaters, those shirts, those things that you rather not think about or wear, that's tucked away, that you forget about because it's not in your normal rotation. I mean, that's where the socks are. And they seem to be okay with that.
Yeah.
They seem to be simply, we get it. You're unhappy and you've voiced your opinion. You've protested this past season with sell the team signs. So because of that, because you're so unhappy, well, our feelings have been hurt. So you're not going to get those things. We're not going to put ourselves out there because you obviously don't want it. But we express our disinterest and we protest because we care.
Because you want change. I mean, you're hoping for, that's what protests are meant to be. They're meant to invoke some sort of change.
Because you care about whatever you've invested in. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be, you know, putting up sell the team signs and all that other kind of stuff. You wouldn't pay attention at all. So if you are allowing just season ticket holders, well, what about fans that are outside, you know, of your geographical area? There are a lot of out of towners. I have talked with them. I've met them at different events. I mean, when the Sox used to have their garage sale in person, and the fact that they didn't this holiday season is such a huge miss because there are a lot of, you know, fairly reasonable priced items that you can get as little stocking stuffers or gifts for people. That used to be a fun event around, you know, early December. You meet other Sox fans. They had, you know, ambassadors walking around. And I met fans that were out of town that came in for the weekend for that event. It's like, you know what? I'm going to come in. I'm going to experience Chicago all lit up, all decorated. We're going to go to the garage sale and have a good time. You know, if you're out of town, you're most likely not a season ticket holder. So you're not getting that option. Sox Fest gave you a chance. If you are from, you know, Nebraska, from Iowa, from wherever you are, Calgary, come on in for the weekend. Yeah. And experience your team. You know, we are embracing you as a fan, not just the ones that, you know, invest all the money up front.
Let me ask you this, Nick, as a former season ticket holder, would you have gone to this event when it was announced? Would you have made a plan to go, okay, this is an exclusive thing. I am a season ticket holder. I do fork over my hard-earned dollars. And as long as they're going to put something together, regardless of what the agenda will be, because I tried to look it up quickly, but I didn't, it was a long article and I don't like to read. would you have gone to the Sox season ticket holder event?
You know, it's very difficult to say that, as like, I'm not a season ticket holder anymore. So I know my answer could be mixed with, you know, is that just out of spite or.
Yeah.
You know, I do think I would have gone just to see what this is all about and to bring back and report, you know, for a podcast. I think it would make for good material of, hey, this is what they had. This is what they did right. This is what I think they did wrong. Here are some blind spots. Here's some growing edges. And this is how they can improve. But the fact that there isn't, you know, a similar alternative for non-season ticket holders, I hate injustice. I really do. And that maybe is most one of a very obvious thing. Nobody likes injustice.
You're like Batman.
I am. I do not like people being taken advantage of. I don't like, you know, when things aren't equal. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Well, I spend all this money as a season ticket holder. I should have something. Yes, you should. And maybe that is a different, more intimate event for season ticket holders. But there also should be something for every fan of every age.
Yeah.
You know, you also need to present something for every fan that can't make the commitment for season ticket holders, but is still a passionate, loyal fan that is still invested in the product. I mean, we talk about being pot committed, man. How about generationally pot committed? I mean, when I've got parents, grandparents, great grandparents, my fandom goes back to maybe the 1920s or 1930s. you know, with relatives that I had on the south, southeast side, working in the steel mill, growing up in that area. And that's all you knew were the Chicago White Sox, good or bad. We're in it, you know. So why are you a fan still? It's difficult to articulate. We've all tried it. That's what really gets me, you know, if we're airing grievances. That's been my big grievance with how they have done marketing, promotion, and fan engagement.
I think you should try and crash it. I think you just show up, you walk in. We're talking a lot of Seinfeld. You just walk in like you never liked it, like you didn't quit the job.
Like when you George
in, hey, good to see George you.
When he
you quit, look fabulous. All
what
right.
Was the, what was he? The he was working for a real estate company.
Real estate, yeah, he was real estate.
A realtor.
He quit. And they said, just show up.
So that I was just blowing off some steam. You're an emotional guy. yeah, why not? I that's definitely an attempt.
I think that would be that. First of all, that would create great content.
Here's what I would have to
I wouldn't
do,
watch
I'd it. Probably have to removed, shave.
You know, like
I would shave. I would shave the mustache, go incognito.
Yeah.
Change, you know, haircut change. That I might be able to get away. I feel like the mustache is kind of recognizable. Would you not agree?
You show up. You show up as Homer Thompson. Hello, Mr. Thompson. And that's your alias for the day. And you're a season ticket holder, and you're glad to be there. I lost my credentials. I would have brought my pin, but it got sent back because it was had the wrong number on it. That would have been my proof.
Everybody's make sure you bring your little pin. Wait a second. I never got that. That was promised to me 15, 16 weeks ago, whatever
if
that
you
was.
You had that. You would wear the pin, and then you could put like on your shirt, like an asterisk, like the correct number, like underneath. That would be great. Yeah. And that's your
maybe at this event, Pat. Maybe at this event, they're handing out all the correct pins. Maybe that's one of the big highlights.
And see, you could have got your right pin, but now you're not. Right. Now you have to pay.
And if you are, if you canceled your season ticket package, you like we discussed a couple weeks ago, you got a postcard in the mail with the Sox saying, we want you back. We've done nothing to, you know, inspire you to change, but we want you to change your thinking. Maybe this postcard will help. Great
if they would have you like, I want you back. And like Jerry on the front of it, wearing something very seductive, like the, and like the come hither look on his eyes. We want you back, Nick. That would have been fantastic.
I mean, if Jerry signs off on something like that, he's obviously gone off the deep end, and anything's possible now. I mean,
we've got a lot of creative people out there, especially on social media. So if anybody can create that, like a take their "we want you back" postcard thing you got, and put it like a Jerry, you know, like seductive eyes, like the finger wag, come over here, we want you back.
Yeah,
that would be so. That would make my holiday.
Yeah, someone can do that. There are some smart people, some very creative people out there. So. You know, I don't want to continue to. I'm not going to forget this. You know me.
You have got a memory. If anybody knows, don't ever cross Nick. I mean, he's got a memory like an elephant. So,
well, it's just, you know, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And
what is right is right and what's wrong is wrong. But it's the holiday season. It's time for forgiveness. And
okay.
And
so, Pat, it's the holiday season. So, you know, throw something at me here. You said you got some questions.
I thought of something recently. And then again, we draw parallels to other teams in this town. And I wanted to draw a parallel currently to the other team that Jerry owns, and that's the Chicago Bulls. And what's happened recently is the removal of, because of injury, of Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine has been a player that they paid a lot of money to, and that was touted as being a part of a big reason why this team was going to win in the future. He's been out, and in the last 10 games, the Bulls are 7-3. And I don't know how much Bulls basketball you've watched recently, Nick. I haven't watched a ton. Not much. But what I have watched is a really, it seems like a rejuvenated team just by removing one person. The ball moves. They had 18 threes, I think it was, against the Lakers the other day, the in-season tournament champion Lakers, that being said. What I thought was interesting about this and drawing a comparison, there are players on the White Sox that are not there anymore. We're talking about how do you fill in the blank for a Tim Anderson? How do you fill the void of a Lance Lynn not being on the team? Joe Kelly no longer on the team. But if you look at the collection of players that were seemingly, whether they were right or wrong, maybe were players that caused maybe some dysfunction both on the field and off the field. Yeah, Yasmani Grandal no longer on the team. Is there a possibility of just by removing the players that have been removed that the team could actually be better functioning going forward, regardless of how you fill in those blank spots? I think there could be, Nick, and I think it's a lot of the reasons why, I look more on the defensive side of the diamond and go, you know, you're removing a shortstop now that you and I believe was below average. Oh, and maybe absolutely. Average at his best. At his best, I think he was an average shortstop. And I think on the majority of his career was more of a below average shortstop. That's just my humble opinion.
Oh, sure.
You're looking at a catcher that was what we thought we were getting in this catcher was a great framer of the ball. And I thought would help our pitching staff. What we found was a horrendous defensive catcher that wasn't available a lot of the time. So let's just think about if you plug in, and again, those two players, let's just take those two guys. Those two players were not adding anything really to you offensively. I remember talking about Yasmani Grandal and the year in which he was not hitting anything, but he was getting on base because he was walking all the time. And it's like we were patting the guy in the back just for being on base. He had a flash of hitting home runs that was, you know, something cool. My son is with me. Hi, buddy. How are you? I know you're hungry. We're live on air, though, so we can't do anything about that. So I'm thinking about if you're just plugging in just average players or just guys into those positions that are better than average defensive players, could this team actually be better next year? And I'm not talking better in the way of, you know, being competitive or being put in a position of winning this division or going to the playoffs. But I think there's a possibility, Nick, when you just remove, it's like addition by subtraction. Is there a possibility that this team is better? And dare I say, could be a 500 team just by the removal of said players and the addition of just average guys that know their role and know how to play the game of baseball adequately?
It's possible. And I think, I don't know if we've necessarily seen it. I can't think of immediate examples right now, but I don't think it's out of the realm when you remove players that maybe just didn't gel. You know, there's something that the organization is talking about, Getz and Grifol and others, that they almost want to come out and say, we had cancers. We had cancers in the clubhouse. We had players that just did not buy in, that were very egotistical, very individualistic, whatever. And you could have a big ego and you could be an individual, but still, you know when it's time to gel and come together. I think they're saying we had some of that. And with this whole culture identity speak, that's what they're actually saying. Mm-hmm. As we're getting rid of these folks that were on an island that just butted heads, that could not play this brand of baseball that I wanted to play. And that's Grifol talking. I don't believe in Grifol. I really don't. I think it is such a miss to keep him around, whether or not he has a relationship with Getz and whoever else. Such a mistake. I just don't see it. I hope I get to eat my words. I hope that happens where he has been given a team that he thinks he can mold and everybody buys into what he's doing. So to your point, on the surface, that seems ridiculous. How are you going to compete without Anderson, without Grandal, without maybe Jimenez, if you know he does get traded eventually or Cease, whatever they're going to do? How could you?
Yeah.
Cease is a big one. I don't know how you're going to compete because you need pitching. You absolutely need pitching and well above average pitching, you know, that can take the ball. But if they're trying to get faster and speed and defense, and it's not just lip service, like they really are doing that by certain moves, well, then, yeah, I think you might be able to improve on the record that they had last year, even though it doesn't seem like it. We've seen Cleveland, right? We've seen Cleveland play a brand of baseball where we're like, where are their superstars?
Yeah.
Where are their studs? You know, they've got pitching and they got Ramirez, but like, where are these other?
They had one superstar guy and a lot of other guys around them, but I think that had a lot to do with Terry Francona. And you talked about, you don't believe in Pedro Grifol. I think if you had if you put a guy like Terry Francona, and again, I think he retired. He's not going to manage anymore. But a guy like Terry in the Sox organization that really understood, you know, a guy that came up through the minors in the system for a long time and was with winning teams for a long time, was with both superstar type teams with Boston and with a team like Cleveland that kind of put things together on a shoestring budget. You put a guy like that that's done it and seen it all and knows how to get the most out of the guys that he has, then I think I agree with you there. That could be, you could take average players and get the maximum out of them, where I think a guy like Pedro is going to have an average player and just get them to still be average or below.
I could be wrong on this, and there's no way to prove it, but if Bruce Bochy isn't managing the Texas Rangers, I don't know if they win the World Series.
That's true.
I really don't. And, you know, we've talked about managerial war and, you know, how to, like, you know, what are managers do anymore? Why did the Cubs pay as much as they did to Council just because they want to throw money away? Managers matter. They do. I don't know. It's tough to articulate in terms of numbers, but when you've got, I think it's personality. It's trying to, you know, get the most out of guys, get guys to believe in this unified method. This is how we're playing the game offensively, defensively. This is how I want, you know, my coaches to approach the development of an at-bat, or this is how I want to take extra bases on the base paths. This should be our mentality running. Defensively, you know, we have got to absolutely be razor sharp on just fundamentals, hitting cutoff guys. Like, those are our focuses. And if you've got a manager that can delegate really well with his coaching staff, and you've got a coaching staff that can preach the message, and it's that trickle-down effect, you know, I think good things can happen. But if you've got someone like Grifol, like, he was out of his element. He was absolutely out of his element last year. And we all knew it. That signing pointed, I mean, it was like big neon arrows to what was going to happen to the Sox. Now, I tried to take Han at his word, which was ridiculous. Guys will bounce back. You know, they will have career years. Like, they'll be healthy. Like, we're not going to have this again. And that didn't work. And Pedro didn't know how to get, I think, the most out of certain guys. And guys also just didn't, they just couldn't stay healthy and they didn't perform. Yeah. So to your original question, yeah, I believe in addition by subtraction. I really do. And maybe with the Bulls, you know, it's ridiculous to say because LaVine on his own, you know, can be a human highlight reel at times. I mean, he's a damn good basketball player. We saw it with Jimmy Butler. We've seen it in other ways with the Chicago Bulls and on other teams. I don't know why, when removing someone that feels like a superstar, that feels like somebody that they were going to build around, why a team all of a sudden decides to gel. And if you're thinking, well, you know, maybe they didn't want to fit into the machine. Maybe they just weren't. If you're thinking that, sometimes the most obvious answer is right there in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, so don't try to think of some other reason. We'll see that maybe this year. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of offseason left. To say that I've been underwhelmed by what the White Sox have done is an understatement. I mean, I am not. You maybe, okay, you threw some money at the KBO guy, you know, Fuddy. You got to have guys that throw. You got to have guys that eat up innings. I don't mind that signing. I don't. That's kind of a creative, inventive one. But everything else screams of, I don't know which direction we want to go. We're waiting for different things. And the Yamamoto signing and the Ohtani signing, does that really figure out the market for guys like Giolito and other guys that haven't signed?
It shouldn't change your plans on how you do things, and it shouldn't affect the way you go about business waiting on some of those other dominoes that in a domino game that you're not going to be in, right? Those people are playing a game in a different room. I have to be playing in a room with people that I know or I'm willing to do business with. So whether they make moves or do things, you know, after the holiday or – 2 minutes before spring training starts. They've got a lot of work to do. And I'll bring something else positive to us before we, and maybe it's not a positive, but to you before we end our show today, Nick. And that was, I just looked up the most recent odds on DraftKings in terms of the AL Central and where teams are picked to finish. And right now, they're picking the Twins to be the odds on favorite at a -120. +320 would be Cleveland. +350 is Detroit. +1700 is Kansas City, and bringing up the rear is our Chicago White Sox at +3500. So the positive spin we could take is we can get a lot of value right now in the Chicago White Sox
who win
the division, Nick. I think you and I are getting together today. We're going to break some bread together, celebrate the holidays, raise a cold one together, and you and I could make a show bet, I think, today. Neither one of us know how to online gamble, but we're going to be with people that do. And I say we make the official Good Guys Talk Back show bet. Pick the Sox to win this division at a +3500 before they make a myriad of moves before the spring training starts. And then you and I could be rolling around in cash like Demi Moore in, I can't remember the movie she was in, but she's
I love your timely references.
There you go. Rolling on a bed of money at the end of the year when the Sox win this division. What do you think? What say you?
I love it. Yeah, my personality is so addictive. I can't have an online gambling account. It would be a huge mistake. But yes, I think we should somehow find a way to.
I mean, if we put $20 on it,
$20. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You get them at the lowest because I do think those odds are going to improve. I think they have to do something. You can do nothing, and the Sox have done that for several off seasons, despite saying something else. But all of this, hey, the division is winnable. We should be fortunate we're in this division. I think we don't need to do a big, rebuild or retool, a couple things here and there. Well, where are those couple things? DeJong is not. That's not one of the things. I'm sorry. That's just not going to be. There needs to be a couple other difference makers. You've got to shore things up. Right field, second base, and a couple arms. There's still more holes beyond that. But if you seriously think you can compete in the Central, and maybe you can't, you got to do something else.
Yeah.
So get them at those odds. Because I think they're going to have to do a couple other things.
We could look at other things too while we're together. And if anybody wants to come out and get a signed 8x10 glossy of Nick and I, you can come to Cimino's this afternoon. We'll be and feel free by all means to buy me a Miller Lite and Nick a Heineken Zero. It'd be fantastic. We'd love it.
You're giving Cimino's and Joliet free publicity.
I know that. I really will put a value on it. Maybe we talk about that when the bill comes. We'll put a value on what they got in mentions today. There's always a value to it, Nick. So feel free to stop by. Nick's going to bring, I have a whole sack of shirts that he's going to try and sell.
I'll bring some stickers just in case. You never know. We got some NFL games going on this afternoon. The pizza's outstanding.
If you've never been to Cimino's in Joliet, it's a Joliet staple. Stop by with your family for the holidays. There you go. More value. I think we talked to them about sponsorship today, Nick.
Well, what I'd like to do.
Working lunch.
What I'd like to do is I would like to do a live event, get back and do a live event in 2024. And maybe it's around an away game, just kind of a watch party. Maybe we could talk to Cimino's and there say, can we reserve a party room or just maybe two booths. For everybody that's going to show up.
I think this is a great idea. So we have some gambling to do, not responsibly, because we're not going to get an app. We're going to do it through a third party to place our bet today. And because we're going to be working over this is a working lunch and it's an expendable thing. So I'm going to put this against the Good Guys Talk Back expense account. If that's good. Awesome. Yeah. And people are going to come in by
my drink. Brother. I've got people I know that have an app and they do regular, they do daily betting. Like
they're gamblers.
They're gamblers. I'll just say, hey, I know it's nuts. I'll see family on Christmas Eve. And I'll say, hey, here you go. Here's $20. Make this bet for me.
There you go. We can't do it because otherwise you and I will be penniless.
To tie it back to Seinfeld, it's like Kramer just had to stop betting.
He did.
He had a problem. He needed to control himself.
But see, we've never actually done the betting. We just know that we would have the problem. We're perceiving that we would have the problem.
I know myself. I know my personality. Yeah.
And I would be living together at the Manor Hotel in San at some point.
What happened to you guys? Why are you a permanent residence at the Manor? We got into online gambling and we were really bullish on that 3,500, those odds for the Sox. And then we had to dig ourselves out and we were making all kind of player props and, it's just
the live betting you and I were doing.
Michael Kopech disappointed once again. I had Michael Kopech as a Cy Young finisher. I took the odds at whatever they were and it was bad.
But this way is a lot safer to do it through a third party.
I think so. Let someone else. Yeah. Until we start like texting and calling and, I know it's early, but you see these odds, I got to get in on this and you got to control it.
I think we can.
Yeah. Well, you wanted to talk hope and there has to be hope. I say tongue in cheek, like I don't expect anything from this 2024 team. And maybe that for me as a fan, like that's my way going into it is I had hope last year because I kind of just, there's no way this could happen to us again in terms of injuries and guys underperforming. I think guys are going to step up, guys have got another year, under their belts and we've got eyes outside of the organization coming in to try to do things differently. But again, the same folks were pulling the strings. Now, what if I told you, at the beginning of the season, this beginning of the 2023 season, Hahn and Williams will be fired in season, but you will still feel a pit in your stomach at the end and through the off season, by late December, even though Hahn and Williams will be gone, you will feel as low as you have been in recent memory as a Sox fan. Would you have bought into that?
I think the euphoria that was that dismissal of those two gentlemen in the moment felt fantastic. But immediately after that, you thought this should have taken place before the trade deadline. So yes. People weren't making decisions on the future when they're not going to be here for the future. So that's when you immediately go, this was a bad move. And then you compile that with directly what happened afterwards, which was a zero search for new people to come in and take those roles. You just promoted from within with a guy that didn't have, in my opinion, the credentials to do the job and really didn't have the resume of success that you'd say, this is exactly what we need. So, yes, I think you how you framed up the question, would you believe it? I guess probably not. But again, if you take those things, you just remove yourself from it and go, this is what happened, what could have happened before, and this is what happened immediately afterwards. I guess it all adds up. And again, this is what is being a White Sox fan, I suppose.
So I guess Simon America, before our next episode, and that was probably, what was that, Funniest Home Videos when we were a kid. Danny Tanner was always giving a Simon America to people. And Simon America is, what do you feel positive about going into 2024? Have those conversations with other Sox fans in your life. Bring it to the comment section, to the chat next episode. What's got you feeling warm and fuzzy? What's giving you hope in this season of hope? When we flip the calendar, when we turn to 2024, and you start slowly getting excited about baseball. You can sense pitchers and catchers reporting. Daylight is growing. Football is going to end eventually, and then it's like, well, okay, hey, new season, fresh outlook. What is getting you positive? If anything, if you can find that. Have those conversations during the holidays, bring some of that back. Cause I generally want to know, like, this is what this podcast is all about. Fan centric stuff, hypotheticals. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you how to fan. I've told you that before. You fan how you want to fan. What is it? We'll weigh in and we'll chop that up. I'm just curious, how other Sox fans, think in terms of positivity.
Yeah, I think for now I'll put it as I'm positive on the removals of some guys that I think were holding this team back. But I'll ponder those questions, Nick. And when we come back, I'll be reporting live, I believe, from Florida during our next recording for no reason other than I'm just going to be on vacation, but still dedicated to the podcast.
That good on you. Yeah, we'll come together, you and I, and discuss when the next episode will be. But, you know, traditionally on a Sunday, that would have been, you know, New Year's Eve. So we'll try to, you know, figure that one out. But, hey, thank you so much to the folks that joined us this morning. It was a different type of, you know, podcast, but hopefully you enjoyed the content, something to take away from and discuss when you get together with other Sox fans. Pass this YouTube channel along, subscribe. That really means a lot. We're trying to get up to 500 subscribers by when the season starts, which I think is doable. And you, of course, can find the audio everywhere. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. And Pat, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And thank you so much for, you know, Sox therapy, more especially around the holidays. We all need it.
Buddy, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Merry Christmas to all the fans listening. Thank you so much. We appreciate everybody that participates in the show live and all the people that download and listen on their available time. So wonderful year that we've put together, I think, despite the team that we talk about on a day in and day out basis. And cheers to everybody out there for listening. Safe and happy travels to everyone.
Yeah, well said. Folks, thank you again for Pat Hester. I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox!